Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering at the Convention Center in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it is a good day. Just getting ready here in the Convention Center. And the exhibit area is starting to warm up as the young adult volunteers come in, make their way into the building, and a lot of other volunteers, exhibitors, making their way into the building. Youth still in Bible study and getting ready for a busy day here in New Orleans. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our sponsor section on our website, kfuo.org. Joining me at the table today, a couple of gentlemen working here in the exhibit area today. We have Christian Schultz. He's a young adult volunteer and serving here at the National Youth Gathering. And this is your third time at a National Youth Gathering. Is that right, Christian?
That's right.
Christian, well, welcome to the KFUO booth, broadcast booth. Passing by this morning, I said, hey, come talk to me. Tell me about being a young adult volunteer. Christian, where are you from?
I'm from Alma, Kansas.
Alma, Kansas. I heard a woo in the room. Very good. Well, why did you sign up to be a young adult volunteer at the National Youth Gathering?
Well, like you said, this is my third gathering that I've been to, and the last two as a participant. And this time I was old enough to be a YAV, and figured that I'd come and help out a lot and see some friends, see some youth, and just have fun with the whole week.
What do you do as a young adult volunteer, as a YAV, or as we're known around here as Orange Shirts here at the gathering?
My job is running a booth of team building activities. The kids come by or we say, hey, where are you from? And bring them on in, and we play all sorts of games like Caterpillar, where they have to be tied together at the ankles and go across and work together and talk out different problems and solve. And then we talk through about what they learn, and hopefully they can apply it throughout the rest of the week.
Now, was there orientation or preparation to becoming a young adult volunteer here?
Mm-hmm. We started Thursday night, and we had about a day with all the YAVs together of talking with the leaders, and they told us different things that we should do as young adult volunteers, how we should engage the kids. Then we went our separate ways to the different booths that we'd be doing and got ready to go.
Very good. Very good. And how's it going so far?
So far, I'm having a lot of fun with all the kids. Yeah.
What's been the highlight of your time here at the gathering?
Oh, gosh.
We're only in only a couple days in. We've got two more days. Tuesday and Wednesday with the divine service on Wednesday. So we still got some more time. What's been your highlight so far?
I do love seeing everyone at the mass events, how many people. When I first came, Alma is a town of only 900 people, and so I never knew what 25 or 27,000 people look like. And I came here, and it's an incredible sight to see everyone all together gathered in one place. And like you said, with the divine service, to all be singing the same liturgy, to be singing the praises of God, and then to be communing together as one whole body of believers, it's absolutely fantastic.
Certainly to be the highlight of this National Youth Gathering as we build up to that and prepare for that on Wednesday. Also joining us at the table today, David Fiala from the Office of International Mission, and helping us prepare and send, gather and send international missionaries around the world. David, welcome.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to to be out on the road together
this
week.
This
usually
is awesome. We're
in the International Center together serving, and you this week get to visit with people like Christian here, some of our young adult volunteers, and the youth as well attending the National Youth Gathering, some of the youth leaders as well. How's it going this week?
You know, it's just a constant stream of people. It does not stop. People just going by the LCMS booth, and not only is Office of International Mission represented, but several of the departments of the Office of National Mission are also present. So it's just this beehive of LCMS activity And anybody who comes by and they start talking about an interest, you're like, oh, you know what? You need to go over there and talk to that guy right there because he's the one who is more doing what you're excited about. And it's just the tag-offs and the handoffs, and people are, oh, that's the international guy. Go talk to him. And we've also got some missionaries here with us. We've got Deaconess Caitlin Worden, who is currently serving in Peru. She's here manning the booth. Womaning the booth, I guess. And we also have a brand new missionary, pastor, just ordained Pastor Jordan Tomesch, who is going to be going to Germany to be doing mission work with the immigrant refugee population. And these stories, and people are walking by and they've got an interest in Europe or they've got an interest in Latin America, and like, oh, go see Caitlin. Oh, go see Jordan. And it's just this whole just conglomeration of folks and connections, and it's just a buzz. I love it.
Very good. Christian, you know, walking through the convention center and seeing all of these various, the Office of International Mission, Office of National Mission, all these people, all these various groups here, did you realize that your church was this big and that there were so many branches to serve in so many ways?
It's certainly eye-opening to see every which way that the Lutheran Church is connected to international stuff. And I've heard about some stuff, but to put the faces with the names is great too, and get those connections. I'll be starting as a seminary student at Fort Wayne in the fall, and so to be making these contacts already, it's exciting to see where that will take me.
How do you think your time here at the, serving at the Gathering, and you've served at Higher Things conferences as well, how do you think your time at these conferences and the National Youth Gathering will shape you and prepare you for your future vocation?
I get to see all sorts of people working in their own way, and the Lutheran Church pulls from all over the country, from all over the world, and the Avs are certainly a sample of that as well. And so on my team alone, we have people from Kansas, myself, from California, from Illinois, from Florida, and seeing every which way of every walk of life and talking with them, I get to experience how to work with different people.
Well, very good. I hope that I know that you have work to do. The orange shirts have a lot of work to do as the youth are preparing to come in. I will let you get back to that. But thanks so much for coming over and sharing with us a little bit about being a young adult volunteer today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christian. Christian Schultz from Kansas, or Alma, Kansas. Thanks for being my guest today. We'll talk a little more with David, and we've got more guests coming up here. Thanks, Christian. You can go ahead and if you want to take the headset with you, but that might be kind of hard. Thanks so much, Christian. We'll let you get back to your post doing team building today, right?
Yep.
All right. We'll make room for Juliana to join us here in just a little bit. David, Juliana, you can come on her own, and we'll talk with David for a little bit here as well. David, how many? You said that the traffic is just really busy here. I know here at the KFUO booth, we've had a lot of people passing by. This is a real high traffic area for us too. To be able to visit with so many people and sharing some KFUO swag with all the people coming through.
The KFUO swag.
Which is, pretty nice, KFUO swag, a nifty little phone wallet.
It just looks a lot like the LCMS OIM swag. I suppose if anybody leaves here without one of these on their phones, they didn't hit the two most important booths.
That's right.
Hey, three DCEs in a row, tic-tac-toe, here we go.
That's right.
Well, Juliana, thanks so much for coming over this morning. I know you've got a lot lined up for today as well. You've got your staff in your booth with the Lutheran Young Adult Corps.
That is correct, sir.
And gearing up for an exciting year. 2017 is kind of a big year for a young adult corps, isn't it?
It is. It's when we're actually going to start doing this thing.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to it. So starting in June of next summer.
Speaking of young adults, we've got some young adult volunteers. Adults. Who do we have here?
I love these guys in orange.
Where are you guys from?
Iowa.
Iowa.
Arizona.
Arizona.
I'm Amy, and my husband's currently at
Concordia Seminary. Uh-huh. In St. Louis.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Yay!
Kansas as well, young adult volunteers. We don't want to keep you guys from your post, but thanks for stopping by and saying hi. Well, we've got a lot of young adults here, a lot of youth here as well.
Yeah.
And so you're gearing up for this 2017 big year for Lutheran Young Adult Lutheran Young Adult
Core.
Core.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, so we're going to start with our 10-week program next June, and then we'll launch our 10-month program starting in August.
What is that? What does that look like? What are you sharing with the young people here today with the 10-week and the 10-month?
Right, so it's a full-time commitment where we will have them placed with our community partners, and they will serve 40 hours a week with a congregation, with a campus ministry, with a community organization, particularly registered service organizations here in the LCMS, in places like Philly, Boston, here in New Orleans, and then in St. Louis as well. So they are going to be doing a variety of different things, everything from working with congregations to facilitate programs like after school programs, to working with people with immigrants and refugees here in the United States, to working with people with developmental disabilities. It just really is whatever the needs are in those cities and for those organizations. We're going to match up our participants with those so that they can use their skills in some new and different ways.
David, how is that similar to what some of our international missionaries do?
Oh, goodness. Like, I already mentioned Jordan a few moments ago about what he's doing with immigrants and refugees in Germany. But I would say primarily the service opportunity similarities between Office of International Mission and Lutheran Youth Corps is that you've got some short-term stuff.
Yeah.
And you've got some long-term stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the same thing for international. Anything less than 6 months we consider to be short-term, and it's on a volunteer basis. And then we have positions that are minimum 12 months deployed. And then, of course, we have called positions that have a start date that are open-ended. You could serve for 9, 10, 20 years, I suppose. We've got a guy in Africa who's been there for 28 years.
Wow.
Praise
wow.
the Lord.
What are you... Juliana, what are you noticing about the youth at this gathering? What are you learning about them and, you know, this generation now? You know, when we first started, we're all three DCEs. When we first started as DCEs, we were a little bit closer to the age of the youth we were serving.
Right, yeah.
Younger and younger every year.
I know. What is that about? You know, it's really fantastic. I had a chance at the start of this gathering to kind of meet with the young adult volunteers and talk to them at their orientation and be there for their registration. And it's just outstanding to me to see. We had over 900 young adults apply. We have almost 600 of them here. Just an entire room of them willing to make the commitment to pay to travel here, to be a part of this. I mean, they are really invested in being servants here. And the community that they build around that, the passion they feel for, even the smallest task they have around here really is evidence that the young adults really are about service and about purpose and about community.
Yeah, some of the more laborious tasks go to the orange shirts.
Well, I mean, I think about in my booth, we have a coloring page or a coloring book, a special coloring book for the gathering, and they're there just kind of refreshing crayons and making sure people know what they're doing. And
you get to color at your booth?
I get to color at my booth. If you come to the youth booth, it'd be B200. And we have, it's all original artwork from Terry Dittmer, which is really awesome. But yeah, I mean, that's their task for from 10 in the morning until we're done at night at around 6. So
How do tasks like that and serving in this way, how do you think that shapes a person for service, whether it be, you know, in the Lutheran Young Adult Corps or as a missionary? David, how do you think tasks and serving as a young adult volunteer at the National Youth Gathering might shape them for future service?
You know, it's a willingness to pitch in and do your part. And I don't know about you guys, but the ministries that I've always been connected to, it's never been a one-man show. And when you do see a ministry that's a one-man show, you go, ooh, how sad. And how many people are not being reached who could be? And when you have a team of people and tasks are kind of doled out based on what strengths and weaknesses are and they're appropriate for those people, and you learn that at a very young age, I think it just becomes second nature when you enter your professional life. And if you're a professional church worker, sometimes you get handed those tasks that are somewhat menial. And yet, you know what? We have a great example in our Lord and what he did on that night when he was betrayed. I mean, what did he do? He washed these disciples' feet. I mean, the menial task of menial tasks. And here we have, okay, I'm straightening crayons. Well, you did that for a week, and you consider that ministry? Well, yeah, because not only was I straightening crayons, but I was also talking with the kids who were here and interacting with them and listening to their story and encouraging them if they felt down. And you know, this is what happens at this event, because people walk away from this pumped up and excited and having been ministered to. When you got 25, 27,000 kids running around, if it's a one-man show, you know, not a lot of ministry is going to get done. So you got to have a lot of people connecting in a lot of ways.
Well, and I would say for this generation, maybe more than any other, they have consistently said that they would be willing to take a pretty significant pay cut if they see where their purpose is for their job. Right? We see that statistic a lot.
Yeah.
Right? If they see a purpose, if they see a goal, if they see it bettering the world around them, they're willing to make huge amounts of sacrifice to be a part of that. And that's when they come here, when they serve as missionaries, when they serve in Lutheran Young Adult Corps, when they serve as YAVs, even if they serve in short terms, that piece of, you know, that menial task that they're doing, they see the bigger picture of the huge amount of ministry that's happening here at the National Youth Gathering, and they're willing to make the sacrifices to see that happen.
Speaking of the bigger picture, this year's theme, In Christ Alone, have you, you know, from the Bible studies to the mass events and all leading up to the divine service on Wednesday, what are you learning about? What are you hearing in from others on the theme here? What do you think about this year's theme? What do you think, David?
Well, not having been to a National Youth Gathering, this is my first gathering. You know, I've been out of the country for 10 years, and then before this, I was never part of a youth group that did stuff like this. So I have no idea how to compare this to a previous year's theme. I mean, you better pitch that question to somebody who knows more.
I think the theme is just a beautiful expression of our faith, of what one of the things that makes a Lutheran faith unique. The sola is this idea that, you know, that we have these things in Christ alone. But also, I think it's really something that they're going to be able to look at their lives, look at this book of Scripture in Philippians, to look at their lives and go, oh, this is how these two things connect in Christ alone. Who I am as my identity, where does my joy come from, even when things are struggling. All of those pieces are really pieces that these students can hold on to in a really tangible way in Christ alone.
What number does this gathering make for you, Juliana?
I went to one as a participant, two as a leader, and so this is my fourth.
Fourth. Now, but this is your first time being in the Office of National Mission.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm, behind the scenes.
That was my next question. What was it like seeing things from, because you've been in the Office of National Mission a year now?
Almost
a year.
Almost.
What was it like seeing, you know, you didn't see the whole 3-year cycle leading up to it, but seeing things from behind the scenes in the Office of National Mission, all the volunteers and leaders from around Synod, from around the country, from around the world,
right,
who are helping prepare for this. What's it like seeing that and now seeing it come to fruition and seeing that that all that work being put to use now this week?
Yeah, I'm in the youth ministry staff, but I'm the only one that really has no significant responsibility here at the gathering. So I kind of got to be that fly on the wall as I watched a lot of this preparation happen. And I cannot emphasize enough how much the Christ-centered staff and the volunteers, the people who commit hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of hours volunteering to be leaders here, to make sure that all the behind the scenes things go smoothly. I was almost never the first person in the office. I was never the last person to leave the office. People really work incredibly hard to make this.
What was the last month like?
It was crazy. you could just, but in everything, the answer was always, God is going to be here. God is good. And we do this in Christ alone. If students come and they grow in their faith, then that's really the important part. And the priority there was always to just do what we need to do to make the ministry to be able to happen, to God be able to act in this place. And so to see in that first night all of those 25,000 people in the dome is an incredibly humbling thing, to say, oh, okay, all of those contracts, all of those tiny,
all the paperwork,
all of the phone calls, all of the checking the maps and double checking the text and checking the app, made this moment possible for these students, for God to then do His good work with these students. It's incredibly humbling, and it's a great gift to us to be able to do that.
It is humbling, just and overwhelming to, in some sense, for me to see all of these youth and the leaders who care for them here, yeah. Being in this, you know, this prime spot here. The booth is right in one of the main traffic areas. So I kind of get distracted very easily too with so many people going by. But it is overwhelming to see how many people here care about youth in our church and want to see them grow and in the knowledge of our Lord, and to be ready for future vocations, you know, encouraging them in their current vocations and helping prepare them for future vocations. And speaking of future vocations, what are you sharing with our young people about being international missionaries?
Planting seeds. I mean, the kids walk by, and you know, some of them are just like deer in the headlights, wide-eyed, like, I'm a freshman in high school.
Why would I be thinking about being an international missionary now?
Somebody's got to plant the seed. Somebody's got to make the invitation. When you hear missionaries talk and you ask them, when did you first want to be a missionary? You know what story creeps up so often? Oh, some missionary came and visited my grade school, my little Lutheran grade school, and talked about being a missionary. And from that moment on, it's always been in the back of my mind. Well, an event like this isn't quite as impactful, say, as, you know, doing a chapel at an elementary school or something. But you can still plant that seed in the back of somebody's mind and say, hey, the mission field is for the church. And the church is those baptized. And here, our church is the synod. And you're part of a congregation of the synod. You could be part of the international mission of the synod. Well, how do I get there? And then you start having the conversations about what sorts of professional skills are needed in different mission fields, and it's so varied. I mean, we need everybody from theological educators to, I just wrote up a service opportunity for Papua New Guinea, where we need somebody who can build, fix, or repair anything with limited tools. You know, and we need this.
A MacGyver.
Oh, if only he were Lutheran. And this is what we need in the mission field. And all points in between. We need folks who want to help care for missionary families. We need pastors who will actually care for the missionaries themselves. We need people who will be teachers. We need people who will be deaconesses doing social ministry in addition to churchy ministry. It's got to be a both.
Is
and.
That a word?
I just made it up. We have to minister both to the people's physical needs as well as to their spiritual needs. And sometimes, if you're not there to offer that cup of water, they're not going to care what you say about Jesus. So we have so many hats that we wear in the mission field, but underneath all of it, tying it all together, is inviting people to hear the story about Jesus. And then to tell them all about it.
Speaking of the mission field, who's walking by right now the KFUO booth? Our friends from Lutheran Bible Translators.
Hey.
How's it going? This is the Reverend Rich Rudowski. Not too long ago on Worldwide KFUO. Rich, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. How's the gathering going?
It's going really well. We've been amazed at all the kids we got to see and the interactions we've had with the students. It's been fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. What are you guys doing at the gathering here today?
We have an exhibition booth where we're giving away keychains to pray for people without adequate access to Scripture. Some of the 4,000 languages still that need God's Word translated in the heart language. And we're also working with LCMS in Wittenberg Castle, where we have a game show about Bible translation and Bible content in general. And then we also have a translation station where folks can try to work through some language data and figure out how to say God loves all people in one of the languages of Botswana. And giving away some great prizes, so we've had a lot of fun with it.
Excellent. Any potential future missionaries?
There have been some, yeah. Yeah, some folks get down, especially in the translation station, start working through that stuff, and they say, wow, I really like this. How can I find out more? And at the exhibit booth, too, one of our staff members saying that they saw there was a certain crowd of folks that came in, you know, different than a lot of other high school students, but they're kind of into language and into this kind of stuff, and they are realizing, wow, there's actually a place where I could serve in God's mission using these kinds of things that I'm interested in. So,
outstanding. Well, we don't want to keep you from your booth. We know you got to go get ready. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks. Good to see you guys.
So there are lots of opportunities for our young people to learn about serving in the future, whether it's here in the United States, whether it's abroad in an international mission field. You guys are doing a great job of sharing that with our young people here. And before we go, though, I want to find out a little bit more about, first of all, David, you talked about being an international missionary, and you talked about for some, it was, what sparked it for them was when someone came and visited. David, what was it for you that got you to think about being a missionary who served internationally, served in another country, in another culture?
It's not quite as glamorous as that. I was graduating from Concordia Seward, and I had my teaching certification for secondary ed theology. I was pretty focused. I didn't even have a double major for secondary ed. They're like, you're never going to get a call, you single major secondary ed guy. And I was offered two calls, both of them from schools in Northern Illinois, one of them in Chicago and one of them in Rockford. And I had both of these calls, the invitations, and I was just sweating bullets over this the last semester, senior year. And I was supposed to be writing a paper for Dr. Bob Fiala of Concordia Seward. And I had to go in and provide like regular reports of how the paper was going. And I remember walking into his office and I'm like, Dr. Fiala, I'm very sorry, but your paper is not the most important thing in my life right now. And I kind of flinched because I was like, he had a brick on his desk that was like a paperweight from the Becker building, I think, that had been recently torn down. And I closed my eyes and I imagined that brick flying at my head, because in order to pass his class, you had to complete your paper and you had to complete the final exam. Those were the two grades for his class. And I opened my eyes, realizing I was still alive. And it was as though Bob Fiala just took and just wiped everything off of his desk. My paper was no longer important. And he looked at me and he says, so what is? and I told him about my dilemma about these two different calls that I was currently fielding. And he just stares at me and sees these cow eyes just kind of staring at me. And I finished my little tale of woe. And he looks at me and he says, whatever happened to you going to Slovakia? I remember when you were a freshman, we talked about you going to Slovakia. Whatever happened to that? And here I am, a fifth-year senior. I'm like, I don't know. He says, well, the principal of the school is going to be on campus this week. And at the Link Library, we just opened up this two-way television camera video chat thing. You can talk with the LCMS recruiter also this week. And I'm just staring at him. And he just keeps going on and on and on. And finally, he's done. And he says, okay, your problems are solved. Now go write your paper. And I met with the principal of the school, and I did my interview with the LCMS recruiter, and I went to Slovakia as a missionary. And that's what did it for me.
And now you share that story with others.
Seriously. Because you never know when that invitation is going to come. And just somebody's going to look at you and say, are you going to serve? And then the answer I'm always looking for is, why not?
Why not? That's a great note to end on. Juliana, thanks so much for coming over and spending some time with me. I know you've got to get back to your booth. David, thanks so much for coming over. I know
thanks,
you've got to get back to your booth as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk with someone that I think you both know and love.
Mark.
Dr. Mark Blocky.
Hey.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute. Planned Parenthood's agenda is so extreme they can't get volunteers to do their bidding. During the Republican National Convention, they wanted people going door to door in surrounding neighborhoods recruiting support for Hillary Clinton. The only problem was they couldn't get volunteers, so they advertised on Craigslist and paid over $700 a week per person. This isn't new. While the Texas legislature was debating a pro-life bill, Planned Parenthood hired protesters to be obnoxious at the state capitol. And earlier in the presidential election, they were forced to hire protesters to throw condoms at presidential candidate Carly Fiorina because she's pro-life. On the other hand, the grassroots pro-life movement has tons of volunteers saving the babies.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Grace Kane, a junior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. Every day, I can grow in my faith with Christian faculty and other young believers. Together, we grow in the challenging academic environment at Lutheran South. Thanks to my school, I'm ready to not just go to college, but excel in college and throughout the rest of my life. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org. That's lhssstl.org.
Concord Matters is a show seeking agreement in Christian confession. I'm Pastor Charles Henriksen, one of the hosts of Concord Matters, heard on Worldwide KFUO each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central and a repeat on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central. We take an in-depth look at the Book of Concord with some fine Lutheran theologians. Concord Matters, live on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Each day, we at LCEF are energized by you, the members of the LCMS. People's lives are transformed by the gospel, and the world can witness that change through your actions. LCEF is blessed to share in these experiences as people like you invest so that loans and critical services are available for ministries and church leaders. We're encouraged by you and your action and inspired to be there for you. Check out lcef.org.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day, radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported since 1924, teaching the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins, and witnessing to the world about God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and a click away 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. If you have questions about donating, you can email us, gifts@kfuo.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, Louisiana. Joining me at the table today, Dr. Mark Blanke from Concordia University, Nebraska. Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much, Andy.
I should say welcome back.
Yes, a couple of opportunities, but I don't think I've ever been at the mic with you. I've been over the phone, so this is a nice treat.
It's fun to get to meet up here at the National Youth Gathering, a busy hub, and it's starting to get a little busier here in the convention center right now. The Bible study wrapping up in just a little bit, and youth will be making their way here to the convention center. Yesterday, a busy day, I'm sure, for you. I saw you over at Concordia University.
Right, at the booth. The unfortunate need to get a plane out of Lincoln at 5:10 a.m. So I didn't make it to the mass events last night. I was
a little tired.
I got up at 2:45 to catch that flight, so I needed to catch up. Years ago I could have done it, but not today. So
isn't it interesting how as DCEs, as we mature, things like lock-ins aren't as high on our list of priorities.
Sleeping on the floors in gyms is off of my job description now. So it many years, though, of doing that. that. So,
Mark, how long have you been a director of Christian education?
Let's see, 34 years now.
34 years. And you've been at Concordia for how many of those years?
22. And I was at Concordia and River Forest, or Concordia Chicago, for 5 years before that. So I'll be starting my 27th year in higher ed now.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
A milestone.
Yeah, it
and
is.
Involved with the DCE program, also have other responsibilities at Concordia University, correct?
Yeah, if you're around long enough, they find other things for you to do. So I'm the chair of a department and director of strategic planning for the university, too.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, glad that they gave you some time away to come hang out here at the National Youth Gathering. What is it? How many gatherings have you been to?
Oh, man, I got to lose track. The crowd's getting ugly out here. let's see. I think I started in Washington, D.C. in 89. And then I've been to every one except for one since then. So I don't know how many exactly that is. They all start to run together after a little bit. But
how have the National Youth Gatherings changed? What have you seen over the years?
You know, the leaders and the volunteers even have gotten just a high level of experience and expertise. And just I'm sure they believe that there's a lot of glitches, but things just really run according to a plan much better than they did in the earlier days. So they've really kind of nailed the process, and they do a wonderful job. And you can tell in terms of the breadth of the thing and how everything's put together.
Sure. There's a lot of professional work and experience that goes into planning this. If I recall correctly, stories from some of the early days of National Youth Gatherings, challenges of buses getting, or was that Denver?
Buses. Denver had problems because they had to bus everybody, and people learn from those prior mistakes, and they try and find centers that are close to people can walk as opposed to managing the buses.
And no snow
helps out. They've just learned to kind of connect with the local people. They know the people that they're working with, and have just become good, especially at some of the contractual stuff with the hotels and things, which is a very complicated process. They just really manage well. Just hats off to the group that helps with that.
They're doing a fantastic job. And basically gearing up before this gathering for building a city within a city.
Right.
Here in the convention center.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the amount of people, I was just talking to the Concordia Nebraska booth, and they had almost 5,000 youth stop by just yesterday at the one booth there. So it's been just a wonderful opportunity, and the response of the youth is just fantastic. They're just very engaged, very interested in connecting, getting information. And for many of these kids, this is the only connection they get with the larger church body. I mean, they may have connected with their district office a little bit, but here they come, they find out that we have a radio station, they find out about the International Center, the youth ministry office, the districts, the schools. It's just a great opportunity for the youth of our church body to understand the breadth and the involvement of so many people in carrying out the ministry.
Absolutely. There are many things, many parts of our church that some youth may not be aware of. For example, a director of Christian education.
That is correct.
And many youth come to the National Youth Gathering with very dedicated volunteers, adults from their congregation, whether it be parents or their pastor or others, who come to make sure that they get here safely and they're safe and that they're learning throughout the gathering and might not have ever experienced what a director of Christian education is. And so this might be their first experience of learning what a DCE is.
That's correct. There are about 600 DCEs serving congregations in our synod today, and there's 6,200 congregations. So at best, one in 10 congregations have a DC. In fact, there are many DCs many congregations that have multiple DCEs. So really, you're talking about the majority, vast majority of youth don't know what one is and don't know what the initials even stand for. So so here at this event, whether they know it or not, so many of the volunteers and the people serving on the leadership teams are DCEs. Leading some of the Bible studies. It's just really a great opportunity. One of the reasons I'm here is just to connect with those folks, because there's so many alum that I know, and also just the people that I've been working with over the years. It's just great to see them involved.
Speaking of experienced DCEs, approaching the booth right now, Dr. William Karpenko.
Dr. Bill Karpenko.
How are you, Bill?
And Michelle.
Michelle.
Dr. Karpenko was my director, in fact, when I went through the program, and he supervised me on my internship, and now we use him as an adjunct to supervise some of our interns. So it's a great gift to be able to still connect with his expertise. So.
He was my director, too, when I started at Concordia University in River Forest, Concordia University, Chicago. I think it was right after you had gone to Concordia, Nebraska, and Bill came to Concordia River Forest.
A little fruit basket upset for a while there with the directors just changing roles. But, yeah, it was great to have him follow there, and he's just has a wonderful expertise that he brings to all roles that he steps into. So,
well, being here at the gathering and being at numerous gatherings in the past, what has been the highlights of the gathering for you? What do you look forward to when you come to a gathering?
You know, it's not the dome events and the big show pieces and things like that. Those are really well done, but you know, just a lot of people all in one place. And for me, it's kind of the opportunity to connect with people, and that happens continually. In fact, I was lucky to make it here on time because there's so many people that I run into, and that's just a gift. And when you're with a youth group, everybody thinks you're the most popular person in the world because you see everybody and know everybody, but it's just the gift that the church provides its workers is this camaraderie and fellowship that we have. And man, you just cannot beat that when it comes time to be at a gathering. It's just the opportunity.
For some, this is like a family reunion in a sense.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, for me, I have had the opportunity to see many of my classmates from my days at Concordia University and other friends along the way that I've made, some of the parishes that I've served and other places I've served, having a chance to see them. So I imagine it's like that for you as well.
It is, yeah. In fact, one of the hardest things I have is pulling the names out of my memory banks of these years. But fortunately, those that are involved have a patch on or something that gives me a little hint of what's going on. So,
absolutely. Now, serving with Concordia this year, what roles have you served in at the National Youth Gathering in the past? Any other roles?
Yeah, I was an interest center leader back in Denver, and I worked with servant event teams two times, and I worked with the Young Adult Volunteer Corps twice also. So I was in some sort of leadership role for maybe 6 or 7 different gatherings, and I've been a speaker at a number of different ones too. So,
hearing the announcements in the background, getting ready, that means
getting close.
That's the heads up that this place is about to fill up with a lot of gray backpacks.
Yes, quite a few. All over the city, in fact. So, it's wonderful to see that too.
You know, and I'm sure that the backpacks are a concept that came along. As we continue to learn about it, as we grew the National Youth Gathering as it grew over the years. The first gatherings, did that involve serving out in the community like the gatherings have the
Not as
last
much.
Years?
I think that Atlanta was the first year that they really kind of kicked in and did and made a strong effort to do major service. I think we put about 5,000 kids out into the community, but since then, it's become just a central component of the experience. And in fact, many of the youth groups prior to coming to gathering will tie in a servant event that they do in the area, and they'll complete that, and then they come back to the gathering and then go home, or they do a servant event after the gathering. So it's the amount of time that is spent by the youth of our synod serving others in either directly at the gathering and here at the hall, or prior to or after the gathering, is just, I can't even imagine the number of hours that are invested in that. So it's a wonderful gift.
Any advice from a person from a knowledgeable director of Christian education, from a DCE who's been to numerous gatherings, to someone who's looking at coming to a gathering in coming to the one in Minneapolis,
yeah, northern one
in 2019.
I think patience is one of the key pieces. Trying to find a banana today to eat for my breakfast, and the lines are pretty astonishingly long. But But if you have patience, if you come in with a laid-back attitude, it's just a wonderful experience to connect with people and, you know, just be open to opportunities. And as much as you can, have your youth put down their electronic devices and interact with each other. But other than that, it'll all happen. It'll all come together.
You mean instead of using an electronic device to interact with someone else?
Right, as they're walking next to them.
Down,
yeah, it's a wonderful, you know, it'll happen. But the more you can promote that, the better it is for the youth.
Outstanding. I thought you were going to say, you know, like great shoes, you know, comfortable shoes, things like that. No.
There will be problems. If you're laid back and there will be problems, and you just will kind of flow with them and sleep well before leaving and sleep well when you get back home. That's about the best.
Don't plan on much sleep while you're at the gathering.
No, not while you're at the gathering. So,
well, my wife is smarter than I when it comes to gatherings like this. So she helped me plan and prepare for this trip. And you were talking about, you know, patients waiting in line just to get a banana for breakfast this morning. And her wise advice: just pack lunches. It's easier. When you're at a gathering like
this. I bring
this.
Some beef jerky with me for the protein hit that I need, and anything that travels well. But if you're a person that that likes everything to fit smoothly, a little OCD characteristics, you're going to have a problem at the gathering. But anticipate that in advance, and it'll all go well.
How does the National Youth Gathering fit in? How is it a part of the way that a DCE serves? How does it fit in the service of a DCE, and how a DCE serves the church, you know, serves the local congregation, the church at large?
That's a great question. I think this is just a component of a comprehensive program for a DCE who's working in the area of youth. There are so many DCEs that do adult education or family ministry, discipleship preparation, and they don't even work in youth ministry any longer. And so, but for those that work with youth, this is just a component that they connect up. If there's a program that is in fact designed around the gathering, you probably don't have a comprehensive program. But I still remember I brought a group of kids from Ventura, California, when I was a DCE out there to Washington, D.C. And when we went into the hall, there was a 15,000 youth there in that day, and we've gone up since then. But for those kids, they didn't have any understanding or comprehension of that many other Lutherans around and that many Lutherans their age that were active and involved. So that component and seeing that is a great opportunity for them to kind of realize what's going on and realize the depth of the church and the depth of what's available and who those people are that are out there. And that was a real aha experience for them, and one that really benefited them and added to our ministry.
How do you, as you train and prepare DCEs, you know, the DCE students to serve in the parish, do you talk about National Youth Gatherings in that?
A little bit. It's hard to understand it until you've done it. And so for us, one of the keys is that we work on the idea of administration, because there's a lot of organizational things that go into play in terms of getting a group here. Imagine you're in, you know, Demuck, South Dakota, and you have to get a group of 35 youth into New Orleans and safely, and get them in their hotel rooms and monitor them. And so there's a lot associated with it, but most of it has to do with organizational skills and administrative skills that might enhance that process. Plus the 3 years of fundraising that goes on prior to that is also administration process. So they spend a lot of time, but it's one of those things that you can't understand until you've done one. And once you've done one, you really get in the groove pretty quickly. So
it does. It is a bit of a process preparing for the National Youth Gathering.
And we've had interns that have gone out on their internship. We literally had some that have arrived on their internship in June for a July or August gathering, and they've been told that they have to have their money raised in the next month and a half. And so, and they've just arrived on their internship. So it's an aha experience, but those that have been out and have gone through that will say, we'll start this early and we'll see how that goes. But really, the fundraising events, as tedious as they can be, can really help form group and enhance the community if they're done well and if they're managed well. So hopefully that's something that that a DC is able to put together and make those events more than just getting funds that are necessary, but also help to build and build camaraderie and build the group.
I know we have just about 4 minutes left in our time here, talking about the National Youth Gathering being a DCE, and what do you have on the dock for today?
Really, I'm going to help out at the Concordia booth, and then I've got one of my youth that was a youth of mine in Concord, California, when I was a DC there, and she'll be speaking at the Mass event tonight, so I wanted to be able to watch her and cheer her on, and some other folks that are help leading Bible studies for larger group Bible studies and things. So I'm trying to just connect with people and see folks and help out at the Concordia booth. It's great. We also have an alumni reception that we're doing. So it's just, again, that camaraderie and being able to see folks is wonderful. Celebrate the life we have in Christ and the history that we have together as a part of the church has just been great.
Who's the student who's speaking tonight?
Gosh, I don't know if she'll want me to mention this, but Shelly Haynes is her name. Her name was Shelly Jolivet when she was in my youth group. But, I'm sure she's nervous at this point, but she'll do an excellent job. I'm very excited to have a chance to hear her.
Outstanding. She's been a guest on Faith and Family before.
Excellent.
As well.
Good.
Yeah, great guest.
Family ministry?
Yes.
She's has taken some coursework at Seward in that. So.
Yeah, she was a great guest. Looking forward to hearing her this evening.
Yeah.
Well, I know you have a lot of people to talk to. Getting ready for the parade. What's it like coming to New Orleans from Seward, Nebraska?
Oh, it's just like Seward. Actually, in no way is it like Seward. But it's one of those cities that feels like you're not in the United States when you're there. It feels like you really traveled elsewhere because of the culture and the French Quarter and all of that. So it's nice being here for a few days, but it's also nice to get back home.
What's it? Do you have a favorite food when you come to New Orleans?
Well, I'll grab a beignet or two or a little bit of jambalaya. Will kind of serve me well for a time. I find that I either eat too much or I eat nothing for a day. It's one of those, if I find a restaurant that I like, then I'm busy there. But there is plenty to eat here. Again, if you can forego the lines, there are a lot of opportunities, and I just try and not overdo. So.
That sounds like a good plan. Don't overdo, but a lot of good food to here in New Orleans, and a lot of people here. What do you think it's like for a city like this to have 25,000 Lutherans descend upon them?
Even on the ride here, my taxi driver was asking why I was here, and he was Islamic, and we had a chance to kind of share a bit about the faith with him, because he had seen all these youth and all these backpacks and everything, and he was questioning that what that meant and who these people were. And so just I think that their presence just gives an image to the city of youthfulness and investment in the faith for my kids, and that really plays well. And I think that's a wonderful message that we convey in whatever city we're in when we're there.
Absolutely. I think that I think one of the reasons we return to cities like New Orleans is because we're received well, and I think that the local folks are happy to have these youth, especially as they come and serve in the community as well.
Right, and the youth are. I even had somebody at the hotel say how much they appreciated how kind the youth were and how polite they were, which I don't think they expect when they hear there's going to be 25,000 kids, coming, high school kids coming. But our youth are exceptional people. The ones that show up here are just exemplary, and I think they make a good impression on the city and the people they're involved with.
And there's
that tune. Yeah, there's the.
It's about that time. Well, Mark, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Thanks so much for coming over. I know that you've got a booth to get to and meet some youth and others attending the gathering. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Dr. Mark Blocky, Concordia University, Nebraska.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Here comes the parade. Well, that does it for me. I'm sending it back to the studio, Buzz. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.